Welcome to Breaking Bread. I'm Matt Kaufman, your host, and I'm honored to have with me some in-house clinicians here at ACCFS, brothers Brian Suter and Caleb Beyer. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks. Good to be here.
It is our prayer here at Breaking Bread that we would break the bread of life and that he could be broken today and bear himself on the topic of joy. We live in a high-strung, high-demand world, and sometimes, though we know we should be joyful in Christ, sometimes that joy doesn't translate to our faces. So what do we have in store here with this podcast, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's our heart, just thinking about as we walk through life, what does it look like to have joy in the journey? And we're going to try to walk through five different just things that might be helpful in that. So I'll just walk through those to give you an overview of where we're headed. The first one we're going to move into here pretty soon, I think, is living with intentionality with the hope that that can give us direction with the common struggle of busyness. And then as we move forward, we're going to try to move into living in the present moment, as that can be really helpful in working through regrets or worries. And then we'll move on to living in acceptance and helping us not always just wrestle with the things that we can't change, but accept what we can't change and what does that look like. And then living it with an appreciative heart to help us through negativity. And then living with childlikeness that can help us in pain and suffering.
Is that different than childishness?
Well, I hope so.
I'm really excited for that part.
Yeah.
I think that comes real natural for me.
Yeah, and I think that it's such a great thing. Kids, there's so much, they like drive us nuts, right? But there's also so many things that we can learn from them. And that's kind of the heart of that one, I think.
That's wonderful. So they have something to teach us. Well, let's start then with intentionality. What do you mean by living intentional? Caleb, can you speak to that?
Sure.
What does it mean by that?
A couple parts to living with intentionality. The first is, I think, what I would consider a what. What is living with intentionality? And I think part of that is knowing what we're being intentional about, right? Knowing, and so there's a focus on that which we want to be intentional about. And then the other part is how we engage in it.
You paint somewhat of a picture that often we spend our lives doing lots of things, but not all of those things are intentional. And so you're calling us to an awareness of what we do and how we spend our time. Is that right?
I think you're right there, Matt. I think, like Caleb's saying, there's just so many things that you can do. There's lots of really good things to do. And I think us as believers would all say that we want to do things that honor Christ. We want to follow the commandments and carry out the commission and so on. And that's a great goal. But oftentimes, the broadness of that leaves us kind of at the mercy of whatever comes down the request line, and we don't necessarily think about it with intentionality about does this fit into the what, or if it does fit into the what, then how do I do it? And I think that's really where we want to try to zero in to give some guidance there.
So part of this discussion is narrowing the scope of maybe the things that we engage in and realizing that, yes, lots of things are good and right and Christian, but I am not called to all the things.
We can be engaging in many good things, but the narrowing down piece, I guess I think of Mary and Martha, and I think of the concept that Martha, right, was serving. She was providing hospitality for Jesus. And so it wasn't that she wasn't doing something good, but she became cumbered and distracted, right? Meaning lost focus on what was the intent and the purpose in what she was doing.
And Jesus spoke then to this intentionality, saying, Martha, you're worried and cumbered about many things, but Mary hath chosen the better part. Mm-hmm. And that better part maybe didn't seem ambitious and didn't seem at all to be good use of time, but he in fact verified that it was great use of time.
Yeah, and I think that is, that sometimes the simple things, the slowing down, the I'm going to just sit and just enjoy the presence of the Lord or, you know, be with him. We don't see that as being quote unquote productive, but that is a good thing to be able to do. And if we don't be really intentional about saying no to some certain things, we will never have time to do those things that I think at times don't feel as productive, but we definitely are called to in Scripture.
So Caleb, you started saying that we're going to talk about the what is intentionality, and we're going to get to the how, but maybe in between the what and the how, there is maybe this underlying presupposition or principle that we have to understand that Martha didn't, and that is that all of those things didn't need to get done because Christ was in the room. Christ was there. Is there something, I guess, as believers that cradles this understanding that allows us as believers to say no or to say wait to certain things?
Absolutely. One of the things that we need to just remember is that we don't have to do everything. And that I think it can be very easy for us to fall into the misbelief that if I don't do it, no one will. And at first that may be true, but it's interesting as we step out, God always provides either somebody to fill that in, or we realize that he's okay with it not being done, and that's okay. And that can be a painful transition or process, but one that's really important for us to realize that this is all in God's hands, and he's going to get done what needs to get done, and we can just rest and trust in that at the end of the day.
And so there's that understanding piece that there are some things I shouldn't say yes to because another person will say yes to that. Mm-hmm. And a larger understanding of maybe God's body and God's completeness and helps relinquish some of this angst that I have to say yes to everything. Is that true? Is that part of what we need to come to understand?
It's interesting when you look at the word decision and you look at some of the root words, it actually means that you kill something off.
Mm.
And most of us don't look at decision that way, but that's essentially what you're doing. By saying yes here, you naturally have to, even if you don't consciously do it, say no somewhere else. And
now that makes a whole lot more sense. When I was taking tests and multiple choice tests, I was trying to make a decision. I was always ruling out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's this one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's this one.
And then you just cross your fingers and hope, right?
It's about saying no to those areas that maybe we're not gifted in, don't fill us up in a way or fit with our gifts. And being able to say yes to those areas that that are areas that maybe God's gifted us in, others see, you know, us being able to be used by God in ways that maybe others can't.
So, Caleb, now you're really we're getting to that how are we going to do this? And what I hear out of what you just said is a little bit of some rubric, a little bit of some metric on how I then evaluate the things that I do. I should be thinking about, did you say giftings? Things that fill me up. So help our listeners now understand or take that rubric and size it up for themselves. What do we mean by this?
Well, I think that does push on an area for all of us that's a bit uncomfortable when we think about sitting down and saying, okay, where am I gifted? Like that tends to be something that makes us all a bit squeamish, but I think—
Is that Christian, Brian?
I think it is. Yes, definitely. Because if we don't do that, in some ways, we're denying that Christ has given us each gifts when Scripture is clear that he has. Mm. So to be able to take the time and say, God, I don't know. It's not that we're seeking pride, but we're seeking where are your fingerprints in my life and in my heart? How do I see that so I can use that for his honor, for his glory, to be a part of the body and do the thing that he's created us to do, and knowing where we're gifted is, I think, key in that.
That makes a lot of sense. Caleb, how would you counsel somebody to help them understand where maybe they're gifted or what activities are best for them to be intentional about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think there's some practical ways. There's a spiritual gifts inventory, right? Ways that you can go and take different tests, even on our website.
And it gives them some sort of understanding about their spiritual gift.
Right, right. I think the other thing is, too, just a simple self-awareness of if you're an individual that is an extrovert, loves being with large groups of people, interacting, and that's what gives you energy. Chances are one of your areas of a focus is opportunities when you can do more of that because that fills you up, okay? Versus someone who's an introvert, they need to say no to some of those things to have yes in space and time for reflection, like for them, is what they need to be filled up.
And so having your ear to the ground a little bit to what fills me up or what drains me, because that language really speaks to me. What activities that fill me up or are life-giving are different from person to person. But I definitely know what those are for me, that while this activity over here might seem arduous for another person is life-giving to me, but vice versa for another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think in that too, to be able to just know that there's probably people that know you well who can also speak into that. I think that's another really key thing about the body is if we have people around us, they're probably going to have good insight into where we're gifted and to be able to ask them. The other thing that I would just encourage people with is that you being gifted in an area doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be the best in that area.
Mm, important.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that even if you're not the best at that, doesn't mean that you shouldn't step into it. You know, if it's something you have passion for, you feel like the Lord's blessed you with a desire and some gifts there, let somebody who you feel like has that gift who's ahead of you come alongside and mentor you or encourage you in that. And it's not that you have to be the best. If you just have a fire and a desire, learning is a part of the process.
I think that's so important because we're taking that out of the rubric. It's not that you're the best at something in order to do it. That's not it at all.
Mm-mm. And it reminds me, too, of some other just, I think, helpful distinctions to make. So when I think about this process of either saying, what do I say yes to or what do I say no to, I think thinking about how you ask questions can be helpful here. So, for example, if you ask the question, could I do this, whatever it is, that is not a particularly helpful question because a lot of times...
That's going to be yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to fit it in somewhere, somehow, but I don't think that's the right question. So, is this a good thing to do? Again, I don't think that's a pretty very helpful question. Whereas if you ask the question of, is this an area that I'm gifted in, that helps bring some separation. Or if in your own mind you've identified, here's some places I really want to minister to over the next 3 months. Okay, does it fit into those three areas that you've identified? You know, so that you ask questions that help bring some division rather than always just saying yes.
So if central to a person is their family or their children, if they're at that stage of life, you might be taking requests and saying, does this fit with how I want to interact with my family? Is this going to take me away from my family, or is this going to breathe life into my family? Does this need to be processed within that larger scope? Is that what
mm-hmm.
I'm hearing?
Yes, yeah.
Living with intentionality isn't like it's a one-time kind of I evaluate, you know, things in my life, I'm going to say yes, but it's kind of an ongoing piece. And I would say even along with that, being able to, when there's opportunity, before I engage in taking something on new, what am I going to take off of that plate, so to speak? If I wouldn't have this opportunity, what would I be willing to sacrifice, right?
In viewing our time as a budget.
Yeah,
as a fixed amount mm-hmm. of time. Certainly understand that financially. Listen, we've got to cut this out if we're mm-hmm. going to add this in. I mean, there's just no other way to split mm-hmm. the money up. Well, time is even more religious than money, isn't it?
Yes.
In the day of debt and credit cards. time is more, even more demanding in that way.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you've only got so much. You can't make any more time than what you have. I think another thing that I would just say, and maybe this is just kind of a practical piece of, I think we live in a culture that values busyness. Like if you're busy, that must mean you're really important. So we
that's kind true.
Of, yeah, it is. And I think that's the wrong mindset. I think if we go and we can't wait on a Sunday afternoon to tell people how busy we are, that I think we need to work at readjusting that and being able to say, wait, what are my priorities? And if I'm so busy, what do I need to take off? It's not okay to just always be so busy that you don't have time for the things that are really important to you. And you have got to be the one that makes adjustments. It won't come at the next turn unless you do something different.
And so the question that has propagated this discussion is joy. So what we're saying is if we are lacking in joy, we feel run down, we feel stressed beyond measure, these are all indicators that maybe we're not living intentionally. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's – I'm glad you brought it back to that because I think that's key. The reason the whole discussion is here is if we aren't intentional and we don't make some really decisions on the front end about what we will and won't do – joy is just going to be drained out of our lives because that's, you know, we're created as human beings that need rest and need recoup. That's who God has created us to be. And if we don't have those sort of things and we're not using our giftedness, joy is going to be hard to find.
Matt and Brian, I think the exciting part about all of this is the hope that as believers that we can have joy by living intentionally in the midst of this harried life.
Yeah, it is really exciting. And I think maybe just to one thing that comes to me here as we're wrapping up is just the intentionality that Christ lived with. You know, I'm always amazed that of what was his mission. You know, if you ask that question and if you see him walk through the New Testament, he never stays in a place until everyone's healed. Like he never, that was not his
mission.
Yeah.
It is so fascinating. So you would say he turned his back.
Yes.
At some point he did.
Yeah. Can you think of, you're in line to meet Jesus and be healed, and you're the next in line, and he says it's time to go down the road. You know that happened. It had to have happened. And it's like, how could that be? But I think that, again, Christ's mission was to come and bring hope and salvation to the world. It was not to heal us physically, but it was to heal us spiritually. And to stay on mission, that meant that he was going to have to say no and turn away, even with those that were still sick that he loved. That's part of what he had to do. And I think that gives us a model or, okay, yeah, there are going to be some things that are really good that I'm going to have to say no to, just like Christ did.
Mm. And what allowed Christ to say no and to turn his back and move on was a larger understanding, that larger understanding of what his purposes was, a larger understanding that what was going to come after him, that being the Holy Spirit, the larger understanding of the church that was going to be born and his disciples carrying that on. I wonder if he almost turned away from people with joy in his heart, thinking, wow, there's going to be so much more coming.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know
how great this is, you know, that I'm here and that I'm leaving. I know it's sad right now, but you don't see the picture.
Yeah. Unless I go, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. That's what he says in John 16. And so I think that is a great way maybe to draw this to a conclusion as we close here, that we have a larger understanding of God's goodness and God's bigness to carry out all of the things necessary in this world, and that we don't have to do everything because his body is so big. And that faith, I think, is very is life-giving. Brothers, thanks a lot for this discussion about intentionality. We look forward to further conversations. Thanks to our listeners for being with us today.